Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. John is the only one of the four evangelists to record the appearance of the risen Lord Jesus to his apostles and to Thomas specifically 1 week after Easter Sunday. You may remember the account, as we hear this each year on the second Sunday of Easter, that Jesus invited Thomas to see his nail-pierced hands and to touch his wounds and called him to stop disbelieving and to start believing. Thomas confessed Jesus to be his Lord and his God, and then Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." If the Gospel of John was in fact the last of the four Gospels to be written, as is supposed, maybe even 60 years or so after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, it makes sense that the Holy Spirit would bring to John's remembrance this particular event. For John, being likely the last surviving apostle, would have been writing to Christians who had not only not seen Jesus with their own eyes, but probably also hadn't even met anyone who was an eyewitness of Jesus' ministry. John's first audience, like us, would have had the Word, and the Word alone, to create and sustain faith in their hearts. But that's exactly why John and the other authors of Holy Scriptures wrote, "So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name." Today, again, we celebrate All Saints' Day. And as you've heard many times before, a saint is one who believes in Jesus Christ, whether they live here on earth or now live in heaven. And the Bible, the New Testament in particular, makes it very clear that this saving faith by which we become saints is no matter of seeing at all. "We walk by faith, not by sight," writes the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5. "Faith is the conviction of things not seen," it says in Hebrews chapter 11. And again, yes, Jesus himself says in John chapter 20, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, which is good news not only for that first generation of believers after Christ's ascension, but for all of us who are living 2,000 years after the fact. We believers, we saints, are blessed, for we cling to Jesus Christ as our Savior, though we have not yet seen him. How surprising, then, that our epistle lesson for this Feast of All Saints begins not with the word "hear," but rather "see." Not hear the kind of love the Father has given to us, but see. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. And just to make it perfectly clear, this word that's translated "see" is not an exclamation or interjection like we often find translated "behold," or in the old King James Version, "lo," no. This word is a verb, an imperative, a command. Look, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. John invites us to see because the kind of love the Father has given to us is a love that, in fact, can be seen. It is a concrete, tangible, visible kind of love. For God loved the world in this kind of way, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as we confessed mere moments ago, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. Because he is true man, flesh and blood, the Father's love could be seen. was visible in such a way that John the Baptist could point to him and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In such a way that Andrew and Philip could invite Peter and Nathaniel to come and see. That John could stand at the foot of the cross and bear witness to his crucifixion and see the blood and water coming out of his pierced side. That after his resurrection, Jesus could show his disciples those wounds and bid them peace. Yes, the Father's love in Jesus was something that John and the other apostles heard and saw with their own eyes. They looked upon and touched with their own hands. And so John writes later in this first epistle, "We have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." What is the result of this kind of love? The Father has given to us the incarnate Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, seen and borne witness to by the apostles. We should be called children of God. And so we are. Because the Father loved us and gave his only begotten Son for us, we have been called out of death and damnation, which we all well deserved because of our sins, called into life and salvation. We who were formerly slaves to sins are now led by the Spirit of God as children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. He is the only begotten Son of God by nature. By grace and grace alone, we have been adopted to be sons of God ourselves. That adoption took place through water and the Word of God. That is how he has called us to be his children. That is how he made us so. The Word of God is living and active. By it, the universe was created, and the Word is still powerful to accomplish that which God purposes and to succeed in the thing for which he sends it. As John writes, God's purpose in sending you his Word is that you become and remain his true and dear children. Yes, that you all be saints. And again, this is what John invites us to see in our epistle lesson today. The kind of love the Father has given to us, sending his only begotten Son in human flesh to bear our sins on the cross and redeem us from death and hell, that we should be called children of God through the gospel. By the power of the Holy Spirit in that same word, so we are. The reason why John invites us to see all of this is because what we will be has not yet appeared. We are invited to see the kind of love, to see that we are children of God, because we have not yet seen what we will be. Again, we're called to see the Father's love. We're called to see our sonship, our inheritance as children of God. But when we look within us, what comes to sight? Temptations, weaknesses, sin, guilt, shame, crosses, trials and tribulations that we must bear, suffering and death. When we look outside of us, what do we see? Wars and the threats of wars around the world, violence and murder in our own nation, hatred of God, rebellion against his word. We see others revile and persecute and utter all kinds of evil against us and against Christians falsely on Jesus' account. How could we see otherwise? The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Jesus. Jesus Christ, given by the Father's love to be the Savior of the world, was in the world, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. This is exactly what Jesus said would happen. He said on the night of his betrayal, the night before his crucifixion, to his disciples, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me." And in the Beatitudes, our gospel lesson for today, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." If you were listening closely, you may have noticed that Jesus did not say, "Blessed are you if you are reviled and persecuted, if people utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." No, there was no if in that statement. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when these things happen." But notice also, Jesus said, "Blessed are you." Not maybe, not might. Blessed are you, dear children of God, dear saints. Beloved, we are God's children now, even if what we will be has not yet appeared. Blessed are you, dear children of God. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Present tense, objective. Even if these other blessings spoken by Jesus in the Beatitudes are promises in the future tense, still to be fulfilled. Jesus said, "You shall be comforted. You shall inherit the earth. You shall be satisfied. You shall receive mercy. You shall see God. You shall be called sons of God." And again, those are all promises, things that will be, but have not yet appeared. But Jesus says, "You are God's children now, and yours is the kingdom of heaven now." See the kind of love that the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God now, and so we are now. It may not be obvious to these eyes of the body. And so John calls us to see with the eyes of faith, to see the Father's love known in the incarnate Son of God, who for you and your salvation became man, who suffered and died on the cross, who rose again from the grave, that your sins would be forgiven, that you would have the hope of eternal life. See the kind of calling that you have received to be a child of God, which you are right now, a calling extended in the waters of holy baptism, confirmed in the word of holy absolution, strengthened in the bread and wine of the holy supper of our Lord. See all that God has done for you through these gifts, forgiving your sins, strengthening your faith, preserving you in body and soul to life everlasting. Do not despair over what you see in the world, what the world is saying and doing, and certainly not over what the world is saying and doing to you. It did not know Christ our Lord. It doesn't know you either. The world does not know that you are a child of God and an heir of the great rewards of heaven. But you are. You are now. The world does not know this now, but someday it will. Someday what we are will be made manifest for all to see. When Christ appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. When Christ came in the flesh long ago, incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he took on the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men. He lived in humility, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. But now risen from the grave and ascended into heaven, Jesus Christ is highly exalted, and he will return in this divine glory on the last day. He will come with the clouds to judge both the living and the dead, and every eye will see him. And on that day, it will be revealed what we are, that is, like Christ, no longer subject to death and the grave, but as the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, having bodies that are imperishable, glorious, powerful, perfected in the Spirit. All this because we will see Jesus as he is. This is sometimes called, in theological terms, the beatific vision. That is to see God with our own eyes in perfect, divine, unveiled splendor and glory, a sight more beautiful and blessed than anything we could even imagine or think of. This is what eternal life is all about. This is the cause of the great and unending joy and bliss of heaven, seeing God, knowing Him perfectly. This is forbidden to us now because of our sinfulness. Man shall not see me and live, God said to Moses, but it will be granted to us in eternity. What we now see in a mirror dimly, we will someday see face to face. What we now know in part, we will someday know fully, even as we are fully known. But even before Christ appears in His glory on the last day to raise us and all the dead and to give eternal life to us and all believers in Christ, we receive a vision of this when we depart this earthly life and enter into our heavenly rest. By the will of the Lord Jesus, John saw a vision of this, which we heard and was recorded in our first lesson today. And again, notice how John speaks of seeing. After this I looked, he says, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." What we now only know in part, what we now only see in a mirror dimly, John was blessed to see fully and face to face. Those saints who suffered great tribulations in this life entering into that great heavenly reward, wearing robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb of God who took away their sins, serving God eternally day and night in His temple, sheltered from all suffering, poverty, sorrow, and grief, and all this forevermore. We who are saints by God's grace alone can look forward to this with certainty. We will surely experience this heavenly joy and bliss. As we will hear in just a few moments from now, four of our brothers and sisters from this congregation are experiencing it now. But for us, what this will be like has not yet appeared to us. It certainly will come to pass, however, that when Christ appears in His glory, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is, and we shall never cease to behold His glorious face. This is our hope as Christians, and everyone who thus hopes in Christ purifies himself as He is pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are you who have not seen and yet have believed. Yes, blessed are you, beloved children of God, for though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him. Therefore, dear Christians, dear saints, see what kind of love the Father has given to you now, that you should be called children of God, and so you are now. And thus blessed are you, for yours is and ever shall be the kingdom of heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.